Hey, Leading Learning listener, if improving as a learning business professional is one of your goals for 2026, make sure to go to leadinglearning.com/summit.
The Learning Business Summit is the only event laser-focused on professionals who lead and work in market-facing businesses that serve adult learners. Across 3 days online, you'll connect with peers and experts to strengthen both your knowledge and your network.
Featuring hands-on practitioners and subject matter experts, the live education sessions are designed for participation, reflection, and, most importantly, action to boost the reach, revenue, and impact of your learning business.
And because leveraging technology is essential for any learning business, the summit also includes demos of LearnTech platforms.
It all happens online January 27th, 28th, and 29th. Go to leadinglearning.com/summit to get all the details and join us for the Learning Business Summit.
Now, on with the episode.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
We're back with episode 2 of the Leading Learning Podcast, and this time you're in for a treat. It's not just Jeff and me. Jeff, I know you had a chance to talk with Cheryl Ronk, who's the CEO of the Michigan Society of Association Executives.
I did, and I think folks are really going to enjoy listening to Cheryl. I had the good fortune to meet her a little while back when I was speaking, keynoting for the MSAE annual meeting, and I found out about some of what they're up to there in terms of thinking about learning. Got a sense for Cheryl as a leader. She really does have a vision for where MSAE is going, and we talk about that. We talk a little bit about a specific initiative they have underway called Third Thought. And in general, you know, whether you're a CEO or an aspiring CEO or just, you know, someone who really wants to take your organization to new places with your learning initiatives, Cheryl is somebody you definitely want to pay attention to.
Well, that sounds great. Let's get on with the episode.
Hey there, this is Jeff Cobb back with another episode of the Leading Learning Podcast, and I am very pleased today to be joined by Cheryl Ronk, who is the CEO of the Michigan Society of Association Executives, or MSAE, if you want the acronym to go with that. So Cheryl, thanks so much for taking some time to talk today.
No, you're very welcome, Jeff. Thank you for allowing us to have this conversation. I'm excited about it.
Well, I'm really excited to have you here because, I mean, we've only recently met each other, but I found out right away that you're somebody who's very focused on learning, very focused on the role that learning and education play and the value that you provide as an organization. So I definitely want to dig into that in this conversation. But first of all, maybe just tell us a little bit about MSAE, you know, who you serve, what you do for them, that sort of thing.
Okay, great. Well, the Michigan Society of Association Executives is the association that makes sure that there is a knowledgeable, professional, and successful association community. Now, for the most part, we take care of Michigan, and we want to make sure that the association community is robust here in the state so that it is supporting the economic development, the industries that are here employing the professionals throughout the state. So we have a variety of different things in place to help support them with that endeavor.
And I was, you know, fortunate to be there when you were having your annual meeting and bringing those folks together. It was a fantastic event. And I know, you know, that at the center of that was just really, you know, the learning that goes on when you do bring together all of those associations. I mean, can you talk just a little bit about you know, your vision for learning and how that fits into the organization's overall value proposition?
Yeah, I'd be pleased to. And I will say that this was something that the members saw the need to do. Mm-hmm. And it changed MSAE quite a while ago. So one of the great things about the environment here within our organization is we allow members to come in and create. I've got a great team. I work here with 8 other individuals. But our mantra has always been to allow the members to create the things that they need or the visions that they see. So I will tell you that when I first walked in here some 20-some years ago, we were the type of organization, I call it a container program, where the first Friday of the month we would have a program in Detroit, a lunch program, and the third Friday of the month we would have a lunch program in Lansing. Mm-hmm. For those of you that know Michigan, those are the two larger association hubs. But there was no thought to what was being presented. Not that we had bad presenters, we had excellent presenters. But there was no thought given to where are people in their career, mm-hmm. what is the type of information. It was more the whole social element and the connection piece. Mm-hmm. I had a group of members who came together and decided we needed a professional development plan. So this would have been around 1998 that we developed a professional development plan of looking at what we would offer based on what level people were in their profession, whether they were the chief staff executive, whether they were a staff specialist, whether they were a board member, or whether they were support staff. Mm. And so we made sure that we had programs for all levels. Well, then we started to look at it that not only are you at a different level within your title or the position, the hat that you wear, but there's also different time periods in your career. So you could be that you're new, it could be that you're emerging, it could be that you're in that dynamic stage, or it could be at the point where you're trying to leave your legacy. So MSAE has taken this quadrant, if you see, or the grid, of where people, what type of position they have, and where are they in their career stages, and made sure that we have programs to service those various needs. And that revolutionized who we are and what we do for our members. So as a result, we have a host of programs. One of them that's coming right around the corner is our Hall of Fame. And I will admit that that was something, because when we looked at the whole spectrum, we had nothing for those people that were leaving a legacy. Mm. So the Hall of Fame, in fact, the people are being announced today to our members. They're going to be recognized in September. Is that these are the people who have made their mark. This is the excellence that everyone else should strive to have in their career by looking at these three. And from those three, we will spend time this fall extracting from them what made a difference in their career. And now that they look back, what were some of the most significant things that they did.
So you're really taking the notion of lifelong seriously then, and kind of providing people a roadmap and a way to reflect, and that's good. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Absolutely. Now, I have to admit, Jeff, this was not something that was my brainchild. It was the members seeing it. But they've allowed me to create and how do we do it so that MSAE has at least one program every single week.
Wow.
In some capacity for our members, yeah. And some of them are roundtables. So, for example, all the chief financial officers mm-hmm. get together, I think it's six times a year. We have software user groups. So there's an IMUS program that's a software program in the association membership capacity within associations. The IMUS user group, I know, is getting together here next week. So it's looking at what groups, and they could be small. I have some CEO circles where, for example, I have one that's all the largest associations. And those CEOs get together six times a year with a professional business turnaround specialist. And, and then they chat and they talk and they create their agenda.
Now, does it ever get messy? Does it ever get to be too much to manage? And how do you deal with that when you've got all of that going on that you have going on?
You know what? We make mistakes. I will admit, today we had to make a call. We have double sold something. Mm. Yes, and are those hard? Yes. I, as the man, as the leader here, have to make decisions. Are we going to be innovative? And are we going to try new things? And are we going to make errors once in a while? Or are we going to sit back and make sure everything is safe and perfect and maybe be slower? And I go back and forth a little bit on that, but I'm more of the type of gal that will say, let's do it, let's try it. And we ask people for patience because we do. I've had two customers I've had to talk to this week where things weren't what we ideally wanted to do. But I was making those calls on behalf of that we're moving fast, rather than in any way explaining to someone, I'm sorry, for example, that you don't want to be a member anymore because we're moving too slow.
Right, right.
So, I have never found the perfect road where I have to, where I don't have either problem.
Right, right.
And so for me, now, I try and not take it too far over the hump where my staff start going bug-eye on me. but we do a lot, and we try and be very innovative.
And I know one of the areas that you're doing more and more with, trying to innovate in, is the use of technology. And I, you know, one of the things that struck me when I was there that I'd not heard of before was your Third Thought initiative.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about how technology is impacting what you're doing, and specifically, you know, what Third Thought is and where you're going with that?
Yes, I'd be pleased to. Now, I have to tell you, you know, everything sort of leads up to another thing.
Mm.
So I'm gonna back you up a little bit and tell you about something that has made a significant impact on MSAE. So I've told you about this grid and really embracing learning. As a result, there is certification in the industry. The Certified Association Executive, the
right.
CAE,
mm-hmm.
is something that the American Society of Association Executive does a great job on credentialing. But we, and many of the states were offering programs where current certified individuals were teaching the people who wanted to become certified. And I had the opportunity to have a woman in the state of Michigan who wanted to help people as a full-time instructor in the class. And it was just the time when we were starting to see online learning. The American Institute of Paralegal Studies was headquartered here in Southfield, Michigan. They were starting to do paralegal training.
Mm-hmm.
Online, and they allowed me to rent space on their platform on a per head basis. So my yes, I want to share that story because it made it so cost effective.
Yeah, yeah.
What I had to do was boost the registration fee to cover that cost, and we put it online. We've been doing this now for 20 years.
Wow.
MSAE has created more CAEs than anyone else in the world. We have been preparing a third of all the CAEs. In fact, this spring we had a gal from Spain. And we have created about a quarter of all the CAEs that are in existence today.
So you are an international learning organization then?
Uh-huh. We are in this one area, in this one area.
Wow.
And we've never wanted to, you know, step on anyone else's toes, because I honor that there is a Tennessee Society and, mm-hmm. you know, a Kansas City Society and whatever. But by looking at that and seeing the resources that we've created for them, we started to analyze how do we utilize this? How do we freshen things up? So we put together a new professional development task force that looked at our model and what we were doing. And they came up with what we are branding Third Thought. It is the materials, the top 100 things that we believe you have to know to be a successful association executive. And by codifying that, we are now linking resources to it. So the aha moment for me was, you know, my parents, when they got out of college, said this is what they're going to do. And for the most part, that's what they did for their career.
Right.
Now I look at my generation, and you know, I would say I'm an association executive, and I've worked in three different associations, but my profession is the same. I look at my children, and they have a skill set, and they are moving that skill set not only within different professions but within different types of companies.
Mm-hmm.
And as people do that, I'm a firm believer that it will be the association community
mm-hmm.
that will come to the helm and say, this is what you need to know if you're moving. So you're really great at marketing. Well, you've been marketing maybe for a car dealer, and you know all about that. But now we're going to have you marketing maybe for a museum that has old-fashioned cars in it. So now you need to know about the museum industry. You will go to that association to learn what you need to know.
Hmm.
I know people can go and Google stuff here and there, but there's not all quality information on a search engine anymore.
All right.
So the associations, in my opinion, will become the libraries. They will be the source for what you have to know when you are moving into this industry. And we're going to have to make it so that people can get the information quickly and at their own convenience.
And I want to come back and talk about what you're doing specifically a little bit more, but you've kind of broadened out into the association sector there, which is, you know, something I like to think and talk about a lot. I mean, you're obviously, you know, moving rapidly, innovative, you know, you see this is your vision. Do you think associations in general, when you look around, you know, and whether it's other state societies or whether it's just, you know, any association, are organizations moving fast enough? Do you think enough leaders recognize what you're recognizing and are making, you know, the choices that they need to right now to lead lifelong learning in the way that you are?
I don't know that everyone's there, but that is why MSAE is doing what we're doing so that we can showcase. And we're sort of trying to make sure that we're cutting the path so that it will be easier for people to be able to do it. So we've had some stumbles as we've been doing this. You know, there's been some things where I'm going, oh my gosh, why did we do it that way? But what we are doing is really outlining how we're doing it so that it can be somewhat of a turnkey process for others to be able to do it. So we are in year three. We are now at the point where we are
This is year three are of helping, Third Thought? Is that?
Of Third Thought. And we are at the point where the self-assessment is done. It's right online at www.msae.org. We'll take you there. And you can do it at any time. It doesn't matter whether you're a volunteer or paid staff on an association. It's free. You can go and look. And then what we've been doing is tying resources to it. So, you know, one of them is antitrust. And if you're in the association world, you have to know what antitrust is because it could get you into legal hot water if you don't.
Right.
And so if you don't know what antitrust is, we've put right on there three resources. They're either podcasts or they're articles. I have a radio show. It could be a link to my radio show so that you can get a sense of what antitrust is. Then if you want to sample antitrust policy, that's for our members only. So if someone really needs that, join MSAE. We'll give you a sample antitrust policy. Now we've even gone to what we're calling the premium level. And if you need someone to write your antitrust policy, we have attorneys, we have HR specialists that we've made partnerships with. We can link that right in. We can tell you what a flat fee would be for it. And here you go, someone will write your antitrust policy. So that's where we're taking that library, is to the solution place for people at different stages in their careers.
And I love that you really are meeting the need that people have when they have it. So it's not just about, you know, come and take a course. It may be, you know, something that's much briefer. It may be a resource document, like you're saying. I'm sure there are ways that they can connect with others and get advice as well. So really think about learning holistically and not just about, you know, formalized educational experiences, even though you're, you know, providing an overall framework. That's great.
Yeah. So, Jeff, I do believe that associations will rise to the helm. They will be the places where people will go to get what they need to know. And here's why. Because associations are the only place where once you are in a career or profession that you can find out what are the best practices and you can stay current. That's the only place where it currently exists.
And so, I mean, if you had to give advice to another leader, because, I mean, you're saying, you know, all of this bubbled up from your members and you've been able to embrace it, but I know, you know, you had to provide some vision and some leadership around this as well to bring people forward and, you know, get everybody on the same page, so to speak. If you're talking to a leader at another organization that's not where you are yet, that's struggling, and you're saying, you know, how do I bring my board along? How do I bring my members along? How do I bring my staff along to get to this new vision of learning and really effectively implement it? I mean, what kind of advice would you give to somebody?
I would say the very most important thing is to make sure that you have thought leaders. Yeah, and I'm key on that. They're thought leaders who see the value of the association I don't care what title they have, whether they're a past president, but people who see the value of collectively being together, keep them engaged and allow them to talk to you, mm-hmm. to share ideas. Even if it comes across as criticism, take it as constructive criticism. Take it as advice. Take it as what a coach would say to someone who needs that improvement. Mm-hmm. Let them tell you the what, and then as an exec, start figuring out the how. Use your staff, and your committees as resources, but figure out how. The one great thing about the association world is you're never out on a limb by yourself. Even if you're a single part-time staff person for an association, your roster of your members is your asset. It's your best asset. Now, ideally, you want to get thought leaders on your board, because that board then will be innovative, and they will support you when you stumble. If you're going to be innovative, not everything's always going to work out okay. So you need a board that will understand that, will understand your level of risk tolerance, because sometimes some of these things take some money, and especially when you're talking about the technology stuff.
Yeah.
You know, some of that takes money to be able to do what you want to do. And if you can look at where you can do collaboration, what's the most important? So if you do something that they say, this will really make a difference for our industry, and you start creating that faith that you are a problem solver, they will continue to bring problems to you. And then you continually, it's not you solving them.
Mm-hmm.
It is you allowing the industry to solve them. Then I think the association community will be here forever and ever.
I think that's a great perspective that, I mean, in some ways it sounds like a burden, but it's not really, that you are open to the problems coming to you. But then, as you're saying, you don't have to solve them all. You're providing, you know, the ways that they can be solved by people coming together around them. So I think that's a fantastic perspective.
Yep.
How about you personally? I mean, I know, you know, just hearing you talk and your vision, that you are probably an avid, you know, lifelong learner yourself. I mean, where do you look for inspiration? What are some of your own learning habits that kind of keep you up to speed and keep you energized?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. I love learning from the members. Mm. So every time I have an opportunity on a phone call to learn, I try and do so. I am an avid reader. I do take vacations. I know that there are some execs who feel they can't. For me, taking that break, and I love reading. So books are a big part of what I do. In fact, that's really how you and I connected. If someone gave me your book, and it was sitting here.
Some very smart person, I'm sure.
Yes, yeah, someone very, very, very smart gave me your book, and so that's really how I initially met you. And so I'm always reading what's out there, what's new. And then I find that reading, so for example, I read Better Homes and Gardens, and I also read Rolling Stone, and I read Time Magazine. Because the more that you read from different perspectives, the more a Wired magazine I love, it will give you a sense of different perspectives. And all of those perspectives have content that can help you understand what you can do for your organization. So yes, I love associations, but I can't learn only from other association executives,
right,
is where I'm going.
Right.
I need to see what's happening in different fields. One of my favorite stories is about the gentleman, I think it was the executive director of UPS, was in Las Vegas for an extra night after a meeting that he had. And it just happened that the National Grocers Association trade show was there in Vegas. So he bought a ticket and walked through. And what they were showcasing at that point in time was barcoding.
Mm.
Now, yes, so the barcoders had thought about, well, this will help grocery stores. You know what the UPS exec did with barcoding.
Yeah.
So if we just stay in our own silos, we will only have that grain. We need to walk the field. You need to see what else is happening out there. You need to be able to understand how those other technologies, even though they may be focused in a different segment, may impact your segment as well. And I love having the opportunity to do that whenever I can. So when, for example, we are helping the Terrazzo and Mosaic Association, and I have the opportunity next week to wear a hard hat and a vest and go watch them lay a terrazzo floor. Now, that's part of my lifelong learning. And I know here on the staff, they're thinking, oh, this is kind of a field trip. This is kind of a junket. No. I want to see how that team works in laying that terrazzo floor. I want to see how other industries do what they do, because that will help me with how I interact with my team and with my committees. So to me, every single opportunity is something that I can learn from.
Could not agree more. I'm a big fan of always be learning, and I think this has certainly been a learning conversation here. These interviews always are. I find I get to learn so much by doing this. Before we wrap up, though, I want to make sure that people do know where to find MSAE, and also to the extent you're open to it, if there's a good way to connect with you if they have questions. So how can folks best do that?
Yep. Well, we've got a website that's going through a reinvention,
right.
So bear with us in that. I know it looks old today, but in a month it will look fresh and new, and it's www.msae.org. Feel free to go and peruse that. That has the third thought pieces right there on the home page. And then you can email me. I'm Cheryl, Cheryl, at msae.org. Now, I get about 370 emails a day, and I can't get back to all of them. So here's the trick. I've got a couple secrets if you really want to talk to me.
All right.
I'm one of those gals who usually works after hours, and you can call us at 517-332-6723. And if you call after hours, chances are I'm the gal who's answering the phone. But if you call during the time, they will schedule a call during my work hours. Or if you haven't gotten a response, send it to info@msae.org. I've got a great assistant, and Caitlin will help make sure that I'm getting what you need. And I'm here to help anyone. I really believe that the association future is bright.
All right. Well, there you have it from the Leading Learning Podcast, the inside scoop on how to connect with Cheryl Ronk. Cheryl, thanks so much for taking the time to talk today.
You're welcome. Thanks for including me.
That wraps up Jeff's interview with Cheryl Ronk. To get show notes for this episode, just go to leadinglearning.com/episode2. And while you're there, there'll be various options for subscribing to the podcast, and we really encourage you to do that. If you're getting value out of the podcast, we would really be grateful if you would subscribe. We'd also be grateful if you'd take just a minute to give us a rating on iTunes. You can do that at leadinglearning.com/iTunes. It does make a really big difference in making sure that others can find the podcast.
And finally, we'd really appreciate it if you would tell others about the podcast. You can send out a tweet to do that just by going to leadinglearning.com/share, and that will automatically pop up a tweet with some language already in there that you can just send out. Or if tweeting isn't what you like to do, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever your social network of preference is, and you can send it out on all of them. We'd certainly appreciate that. But we'd be very grateful if you would share the podcast with others in your network.
So thanks again, and until next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.